KPI.org.
Thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. Whoa. My name is Sam, and I'm the host of this show and engineer. Thank you to Aaron for being my podcaster, and Charlene Dahl is my research woman. Hello, Charlene.
Good evening, everyone.
You're lucky I allowed you back from going on vacation on me last week.
Yeah.
So
I'm here now.
Yeah. This week we've got a great amount of people in the studio. And I'm going to go around and announce them when we get to it, because I like to mess with people's names. Everyone knows how I am with names. So this week we have Sherry Wallace. Sherry is from the Wallace Group. And she's here to talk about partners and policymaking from her class, partners in policymaking, to talk about people's experience in learning how to advocate for themselves or people with disabilities. So thank you for coming in, everyone. I'll start with Aaron Wakeham.
Hello, yep, Aaron Wakeham.
Aaron is from Plymouth. And from Sumuka?
Yep, Sumuka.
Tarakanambi?
Yep, that's
Whoa,
correct.
Whoa, did I actually do that?
Yeah.
And you're from Lakeville, so great. Anne Rouse, Anne is also from Lakeville. Hello, Anne.
Hi.
And also, last but certainly not least, we have Heather Keynes, and Heather is from Britt. I'd never heard of Britt. Sorry, Heather. from Minnesota. Northern Minnesota. So thank you so much for coming on and being so good about being out there. Is all your snow melted?
It is, yes.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you never know, you know, those northern places, because sometimes they hide things. So we'll be sharing a lot on your stories in regards to taking this class. And so I want to start out by asking you, please, each to start by giving a little bit of history about you. Oh, and hi, Sherry. I didn't mean to leave you out.
How you doing?
Sorry.
Yeah. Doing good.
Why don't you give me a little bit of history about each of you and how you discovered partners in policymaking? Let's start with Sumuka.
Yeah, I can get started. So first of all, thank you both for having us today. This is such an amazing opportunity to share our experiences with you. I'm 24 years old. I am currently doing my Master's of Public Policy at the University of Minnesota Humphrey School of Public Affairs. I'm actually graduating this weekend. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I also have a disability. I was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy when I was 4 years old, and currently I use it's for those of you who do not know, it's a progressive neuromuscular disease, and as a result, I use a wheelchair to get around. So I first learned about the Partners in Policymaking program towards the end of my internship at the Minnesota Senate. So I was interning under Senator John Hoffman and his legislative assistant, Kevin Parker. Kevin actually was the one who introduced me to Colleen. And I was connecting with her, and she mentioned the amazing program that she started many years ago, Partners in Policymaking. And I wanted to apply mainly because I wanted to learn about the issues impacting the disability community and become a stronger advocate for myself and others with disabilities. And since I was doing my master's of public policy with a focus on disability policy, this was the perfect opportunity to prepare for a career in advocacy and policy development, and also get to know others with disabilities who are facing similar challenges. That's just a little bit about me and why I wanted to be part of this program.
Thank you. How about Heather? Heather Keynes, why don't you tell us how a little bit of history about you and how you discovered Partners in Policymaking?
Sure. So my name's Heather, and I have three kids, two of whom are on the autism spectrum, and my youngest also has intellectual disabilities and physical disabilities. So we have a wide range.
You have your hands full.
And so since my son was born, I have been a stay-at-home mom and just doing advocacy work on the side, managing all the things that go along with severe disabilities, working with the county, working with waivers, managing his medications and equipment and everything. And I have several friends who have gone through the program in the past, and, they've said nothing but good things about it. And so each year I've watched and looked at the dates, and they never lined up with my schedule or with my husband's schedule. And finally, this year, it was perfect. We had no conflicts whatsoever, so I applied. The program's just been wonderful. I've been a stay-at-home mom since my son was born 11 and a half years ago. Because of the program, I have applied to law school and been accepted. So I'm starting that journey this fall so that I can further advocate for people with disabilities.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. So now I'd like to go, I think, to Aaron. Aaron, why don't you go ahead and you know the drill by now.
Sure. Yeah. So I am a Minneapolis, Minnesota native. I live in Plymouth now. I attended college and went through law school as well. I've always been interested in disability advocacy and just law and policy making generally. And I applied to Partners in Policymaking. I don't have a great story of how I applied. I've used the Governor's Council on Developmental Disabilities website as a resource before. They have a lot of fantastic content on that site.
Right.
One day I stumbled upon Partners in Policymaking and sort of submitted an online application on a whim. The program's been fantastic, not just for the different content modules that give you a broad overview of different areas where people with disabilities are impacted, but also it's a very good networking opportunity to meet with other advocates, parent advocates, self advocates, and with the lawmakers and senior program administrators in Minnesota who make those laws and put them in motion. So it's been fantastic. And
right.
I guess I should mention my disability impact. I'm an autistic adult and I'm on the spectrum.
Right.
So yeah.
Anne from Lakeville.
Yeah, I have three children. They're 15, 13, and 11, and they all have a genetic deletion that's led to having autism and ADHD and dyslexia, dysgraphia, Tourette's. They have kind of an array of things going on.
You too have your hands full.
Yes. But our school district has kind of a special education family group we get together, and I was going and listening and absorbing, but I wasn't really participating. And some of the other folks there, like Kim Baker and David Anderson, who've previously been through Partners, said that it would be a good idea for me to apply. I wanted to be a better advocate for my kids. I wanted to be part of creating a more accepting world for them, and one where it would be easier for them to participate in everyday life. And I wanted other families to have fewer struggles trying to get access to services and supports and be included in their communities. So that's why I joined.
Thank you. And Sherry, you might as well kind of give people the lowdown if anybody's really, I think they got the idea of what Partners in Policymaking is now, but give them a little history on you and your thing.
Well, Partners in Policymaking has been around for 37 years, reaching out, and it was a concern that individuals with disabilities or parents raising children with disabilities learn the skills to be able to very strongly interact with elected officials and plead their case as far as laws and services. So that was 37 years ago. I have been involved about the past 12 years specifically in Partners in Policymaking and promoting it around the state. The excitement is that every year a new group of individuals come in and you see them change and really begin to get empowered and excited to utilize all this material. So I am doing a lot of work getting, especially this year, getting individuals around the state on radio programs to be interviewed. And we've always come here.
I know.
This has been a wonderful welcome home, Matt, every time we come here. But it has also inspired me that I could get individuals at their own hometown to be on the radio.
Oh, cool.
And it's a challenge for all of them. And I'm remote, but it really is turning out very well. So far, we've had several people, and we're not done yet. Even more coming in the next couple of weeks.
Excellent.
But yes.
And how long does the program last?
Well, the specifics about the program are that it is really an in-depth look, and it lasts for over the period of 9 months. That means 8 months, you are taking 2 days out of your month, mostly a Friday to Saturday time, but then one time there's a Saturday to Sunday time. But it's coming to the Twin Cities, and people coming from a long distance away, they stay at a hotel, but that's where all the conference happens, in that individuals are hearing from experts from around the country and really challenging themselves and doing a wide variety of exercises and activities in the group to really enhance the learning. And by the end, throughout that time, we go to the Capitol, and individuals talk to their elected representatives. They're hearing about federal laws and the history of federal laws. But mainly, they start learning to have skills to talk to their legislators about laws and how the laws have an impact on children with disabilities, on families who are raising children with disabilities, and adults with disabilities. So this week we have individuals of 35 people graduating, it's in 2 weeks, graduating, and it's very exciting to see them who really changed over the past 9 months.
Great. So what I want to know is, for everyone, is kind of how did taking a class like this, like Partners in Policymaking, help you with advocating? And if you can tell a personal story, that's great. But give me an idea of how you feel like this helped. Heather, do you want to go first?
Sure, I can go first. So when I began Partners, I absolutely dreaded public speaking activities. And since just going through all the activities that we've done each month and all the testifying that we've been able to do both in person or written with the legislature, it's really taken that fear away and made me feel empowered and capable of speaking to a broad variety of disability related issues. And I guess that's the biggest thing, is it really just reignited a fire within myself that, you know, I've kind of given myself to my kids for the whole
Heather, I want to stay with you on this for just a minute, because it sounds like you were doing advocacy even before this, though, and you feel like it made a that much more difference for you.
Yeah. So I worked on just with some grassroots type advocacy in the past. I worked with a group of parents and patients on getting medical cannabis in Minnesota passed several years ago. And then some newborn screening that, you know, directly affected my family. And when I was a part of those, you know, I did do some, it was mostly written testifying. I never felt comfortable, you know, giving an interview or getting in front of a panel or advocating for the change, like person to person. And now I'm excited for those things. So it's definitely been a very fulfilling and growth-filled experience for me personally.
Smuka, how about you?
Yeah. So for me, I think similar to what Heather said, I think I've gained a lot more confidence with discussing disability issues, and particularly telling my story and how these issues impact me and other people with disabilities. So there have been some of the activities that we've done. We have been able to talk with legislative staff, county commissioners, elected representatives, and state senators who have been able to attend our programs. And that has given us the opportunity to practice skills in telling our story, giving testimonies, and things like that. And that has actually directly translated to outside of partners. So one thing that I was able to do is when we were learning about the county's role in disability policy, we were encouraged to reach out to our own county commissioners. And because I'd practiced talking with county commissioners and communicating my story and how it impacts me, I was able to connect with my own county commissioner at Dakota County. And now I'm involved in a working group in Dakota County where I'm helping out with providing recommendations on how to improve services. Another example, just at my school, at the Humphrey School, I was part of a steering committee for the dean's new strategic plan. And a lot of the advice that, whether it was presenters or even other classmates or people that I interacted with, a lot of that advice and the skills that I learned really helped me be a good advocate in that committee as well, where I was able to bring up disability-related issues, improving accessibility, and things like that. And so I was able to raise my voice and work with other members of the Humphrey community to make sure that accessibility was also made a priority. So those are just two of the ways that this program directly translated into me being more confident in other situations where there's advocacy and things like policy development, making recommendations. So that's how I would say that this has impacted my life as well.
Thank you. Anne, how about you?
I think the most important thing that I've probably learned is about the value of sharing my own lived experience. Mm-hmm. I worry a lot about talking about my kids' disabilities, like I would be invading their privacy if I shared about it. And partners brought up those conversations in my home so I could ask my kids, how do you feel about this? And I found out that they have no qualms at all about me sharing about their disabilities, or as long as it's going to be to help others. And so you know, so many families raising children with disabilities feel isolated and alone, like no one's going to understand our experience. But they do, or they can, if we share about it, and if we normalize talking about disability and asking for what we need from our communities. So these stories of our lived experiences are really what has the greatest impact when we're talking to policymakers, too. So just that's a really important thing that I learned how to do, was to share our story.
And Aaron?
Yeah, I think the benefits of something like Partners in Policymaking are numerous. I think there's the course content itself is very useful if you're not familiar with one or more major issues that impact people with disabilities is very helpful. Obviously, the practical exercises of public speaking and social skills, those are things that people on the autism spectrum in particular definitionally struggle with. And there's, like I said before, the networking opportunities, getting to meet with other people. I think that's been the most beneficial for me because oftentimes I have prior experience in disability advocacy, but often those things are siloed on particular issues or areas of life. I've been active a lot in employment advocacy for people with disabilities, and also on the conditions themselves. Oftentimes, if I'm active in an autism advocacy group, that I may not be meeting people who are part of deaf culture or who have a variety of other disabilities. So it's been great to meet with other people and learn from their different experiences and also come together to advocate for issues that affect all of us.
I'm just curious, Aaron, was there any misconceptions you had on advocations that you learned differently in this program? And also, are there any bills that you're supporting coming up?
I think there are some fantastic bills before the legislature. Sumuka and I have both been working on, there's a Connect 700 reform bill. And that is the specialized recruitment and retention program for people with disabilities in state employment. And adopting the committee, there's been a state committee active, adopting their recommendations and providing other reforms to the program, and particularly collecting more data from agencies. Many state agencies are not forthcoming with their disability employment figures and the success they have in retaining employees with disabilities. And that makes it very hard to figure out what to do. Sorry, what was the other question?
Well, just was there any misconceptions that you had before you took this class in regards to advocation?
I think it was just mentioned, but the importance of telling your own story, it cannot be overstated. It's great to have policy knowledge and to have a variety of statistics, facts, and figures that support your argument. But politicians respond much more strongly to constituents that come to them with, this is impacting my life greatly for the following reasons.
How about you, Sumuka?
Yeah, so specifically like Aaron mentioned, the specific work that I've done on the Connect 700 is that was actually the topic of my final paper for my master's program. So similar issues that Aaron brought up, lack of data collection from agencies, and then also aspects of the program not being emphasized, like training, lack of oversight, things like that. So that's a lot of what I focused on in my professional paper. And then other, I guess, legislation or things that I've been looking at have had to do with the workforce shortage in direct support professionals. That's another issue that's affecting a lot of people with disabilities, both in the state of Minnesota and also nationally. things related to employment benefits like medical assistance, and making sure that people can get the care they need, but also be able to work and make money and build wealth. That's some of the things that I've been keeping track of, and then also transportation as well, transportation access.
All of us,
And I guess in terms of any misconceptions about advocacy, I mean, I guess similar to what Aaron said, I basically telling your story and how that can have an impact. It's not, while statistics and having data to back it up is also important, the story is really important. So I think that's another thing that I learned through this program as well.
Anne, how about you?
I think one of the misconceptions I had is the importance of the formality of everything. And we did learn about that and how to go about writing the letters and how to speak in front of people. But I think also one of the great things that we learned with all of our getting to interact with policymakers at different levels is that they're all people. They're all human. And it's okay to really talk to them. And some bills that I'm watching are mostly the Human Services Omnibus Bill and specifically the elimination of the TEFRA fee for parents.
Can you talk about that? I don't know what that is.
So parents who, when a child is determined to be disabled, they can have access to MA without their parents meeting the financial requirements. But then it involves a parental fee. And so for my family, that's the same as paying our Minnesota state taxes twice. It's an extra $500 a month that we can't use for paying our bills,
right,
feeding our family. So it makes a big difference. And the other one that I'm watching closely is the elimination of asset limits for employed people with disabilities to access MA, because I think we really should be moving to a place where we're not expecting people with disabilities to live in poverty.
Yeah. So they're thinking of making that so you don't have to claim everything? Or how does that work?
Eliminating the asset limits and also changing the fee structure to make it more approachable.
Great. Mm-hmm. Heather.
Yes.
So how about you?
Yeah, a couple of the bills that have been on my radar, there was a bill for mandating adult-sized changing tables in government-funded buildings, which is huge because little people with disabilities become big people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would love to be able to go on family outings or, you know, be in the community. And it's very difficult, you know, to try and find somewhere that you can change a person that needs to be changed.
Right.
And then another bill is the elimination of subminimum wage for people with developmental disabilities. That's one that I'm following. I just think it's very important that there's more equity in that area. And like Anne mentioned, the TEFRA fee elimination, that's been probably my top bill that I've followed this year and done quite a bit of testifying on part of that one. And the thing that I learned about advocacy is that legislators don't know that there's issues until you bring it to them. And it's up to us to really identify an issue and bring it to them and advocate for that change. A good example is the TEFRA bill. When it was first brought to the floor of the, I believe it was the House that I was watching, just the amount of exasperation on the members' faces and the comments that they were making about how they couldn't believe that this was a thing, that the parents are charged to, you know, this extra tax.
They had no idea.
And yeah, they had no clue. So it was really bringing it to the forefront. And you know, just that we as citizens have that power to do that.
All right. Thank you so much. I want to ask each of you, if you could pick one thing that you felt was the most important thing that you took away from the Partners in Policy class, what would it be? And I think I'll start with Aaron first.
I hate to keep hitting the same nail again, but networking, the ability to form relationships with other people that are struggling with the same issues that you are, or with different disability impacts, as well as extremely knowledgeable practitioners that have been in it for decades, like Dr. Colleen Wick, who administers the Governor's Council and this program. I think that's the biggest takeaway for me, and being able to form relationships with legislators, both my legislators and with other senior state senators that have been working on disability issues for years, and even people that I have strong political disagreements with in other areas. We can find common ground oftentimes on specific issues that impact some of the most vulnerable population groups in Minnesota.
How about you, Anne?
I think I would go back to the just being able to tell your story and tell it well, tell it so it applies to the specific policy you're referring to and that you want to have changed. That's the biggest thing for me.
Heather?
Yeah, that we are able to have difficult discussions and do so with respect, whether that's with a peer or with a legislator. Just, you know, I've heard so many just conversations on our class weekends between people that have different views on, you know, very contentious topics, and we can have those discussions and debates and do so with respect, and that's just a huge thing.
Smooka?
Yeah, I think just similar to what other people have been saying, I think the biggest takeaway for me is the importance of putting yourself, I guess, outside of your comfort zone, I would say. So some of the things like speaking in front of a panel of state legislators would have been something that I would have been very nervous about, maybe even a year ago. Things like that, just being out there and providing your ideas and what you think should change. That's, I guess, a big takeaway, I would say, is just being able to get out of your comfort zone and put yourself out there and make your case. And yeah, I would say that's the takeaway.
How do you feel like how this has changed you as a person?
I mean, I guess I'm more, I think I'm getting more articulate at conveying the message that I need to about these disability issues, not only bringing in the statistics and data, but then also, like everyone has been talking about, like having that personal story and really making your elected officials understand how these issues are impacting you in your life. So that's one thing that I would say has impacted me, is that I'm more articulate on these issues and topics, and then also the confidence piece as well, being able to put myself out there and be more involved in the policy making process.
Heather, has this changed you as a person?
Oh, absolutely. Simica just said, like, confidence level has skyrocketed. I never would have been comfortable, you know, speaking in front of a panel of legislators or a a judge or, you know, any of those people prior to partners. And, you know, just when you step outside your comfort zone and put yourself out there, amazing things can happen. And, you know, I didn't think that a mom of three in her 40s could accomplish getting into law school. And here I am. And I just am very excited for the future.
How about you two? Do you have anything different? Has it done anything different for you two, or is it still big confidence level stuff?
Well, I think that's a big part of it. I went from just listening at meetings to leading. So now I'm one of the co-chairs of our district's special ed advisory council. And that would have been unthinkable before.
And I just think that partners is such a fantastic idea. I love the notion of helping people learn more about the political issues that affect them and become more civically engaged. I think partners like programs should exist for all sorts of vulnerable groups. There should be a Black Minnesotans Partners in Policymaking. There should be an LGBT Partners in Policymaking. Mm. And just all of us knowing that we can, there's no barrier to entry in politics, despite what you might think. You can write your senator or your representative about anything. You can request a meeting with them. You can protest. You can do a variety of things to become more active in your community.
So, Aaron, now that you've completed the class, what are your goals for everything that you have under your belt now? What will you do with it?
I mean, disability advocacy has been my life for years now. I think Partners has provided me with new skills. I'm a lawyer by training.
Really? Wow.
So I, those skills are obviously highly relevant.
Yes.
And I work in disability services every day with the state of Minnesota. So I think all of those things have put me on this path to be able to speak up for myself and others like me. And I feel very fortunate.
And how about you? What will you do? What's your goal here?
I think I'm going to try and become more active in my community, in my school district. But also, I think we're all going to be coming away from this with feeling like we have more of a community that we can reach out to when there are important policy issues coming up. And we can say, hey, this is something that's important. Let's all get on this, because the more of us can express our voice about a policy that's coming up, the better.
Samuka?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I'm going to be graduating soon, and I'm also starting to look for jobs as well. Mm-hmm. And because of my public policy, Masters of Public Policy background, I'm definitely looking for disability advocacy groups where I'm involved in the public policy and advocacy, and then also within the state of Minnesota, the Minnesota Council on Disability is another organization. So if I were to get a job where I'm involved in advocacy and policy development, a lot of the skills that I learned from partners will definitely help me be a stronger advocate. And really, I've heard a lot of ideas and thought more about these topics. And so that's definitely going to help in my career and make me effective at trying to change policies at the state and even the federal level.
Heather, do you have a goal?
Well, I'm short term. I'm going to be starting at Mitchell Hamlin this fall, and then I really want to focus on like ADA compliance and disability rights.
Yeah.
As well as I have an interest in the policy side as well. So, not 100% sure where it's going to lead me at this point, but those are the areas that I'm really interested in.
And Sherry, I'm wondering, you know, I know you do many of these, and you must see the classes come out and how they bond with each other as a group. I just wonder if you want to talk about a little bit about that that bonding that, you know.
That's exactly what I see. It happens in a very powerful way of, from the very start, people not knowing each other at all. They only know from the very first day that they are somehow connected about disabilities. And when they hear about the history of how people have been treated over time, they really get a sense of just horrified. And that just cements this group of strangers, and they are all different, and they're chosen, the class is chosen to be very different from each other, all different disabilities, age groups, backgrounds, professional interests, and it really just melds them together as a very powerful support group. Many of these policymaking groups that they went through the class together stay connected for a lifetime. In the very beginning, I warned this class that miracles will happen, amazing things will happen, and they've just got to watch out for it. And so you've got Heather deciding that she has to go to law school, and other people changing jobs, and individuals realizing they've got a voice. And I remember one mother from Somalia just saying she had no idea that she had this voice to be able to speak up for her child. And it's really been over and over a powerful program. When I take photos of individuals in the first day, and then I look at those individuals in May, they don't look the same. People change their hairstyles. And that's what happens when you get self-confidence.
Right.
And you really feel more sure of yourself and more determined. I do want to say this is a no-cost program. For anyone thinking that, wow, this is terrific, I wonder how much it costs. Well, it doesn't cost anything, because it was set up to anything that would get in a way for that family to say they can't come. That's all taken away. Child care is reimbursed when one of the parents has had to leave the family and to go to the classes. And the people are staying in a hotel and they're being fed, and all the educational materials are taken care of. And you're reimbursed for gas mileage. So we want all parts of Minnesota to be able to come and really begin to feel the power of this program. The class again starts in September, on September 15th, and all the applications are due July 14th. We put everything online that you can apply. Aaron mentioned that he just went online and applied, and that's how we just make it really simple for people to answer a few questions about who they are, so we know how to make the group very, very much a congenious group, or a group that will work together, but that is very different from each other, very diverse group.
Excellent. I want to start with you, Heather, and I want to ask you, if you could choose one reason why somebody should take Partners in Policymaking class, and what would it be, and who, you know, what type of person would you suggest it to? Oops, hold on.
Well, I let's see. One reason why, just the connections and the material that you will learn. The first weekend of the program was for me the pillar that really it was life-changing. Hearing the history of how people with disabilities have been treated historically, that was that right there cemented for me that I needed to do more. And I think that any parent or any self-advocate that wants to do more should it apply. It's just a fabulous program, and you will not regret it.
Samuka, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of reasons, but if I had to focus on
only
one. I would say that you will gain more knowledge about disability issues from the presentations, as well as the solutions that are being proposed. It's good to know about the problem, but then it's also important to have those discussions about what advocates are bringing forward, what lawmakers are proposing to improve services for people with disabilities. And then also just having a more knowledge about how the system works can help you identify areas that need to be improved or ways that you can be involved in the process of improving these services. So that's probably the one reason why I would recommend this program to someone. And I would say anyone who has a family member with a disability or someone who has a disability themselves and wants to make sure that they get the services and supports that they need to participate in the community, this is a great program for that reason.
Anne, how about you?
Partners has just been a really wonderful learning and growing experience for me, and it stretched my comfort zone and given me a wider sense of community. Right now, I'm recommending it to other parents that I know, but I really can't wait to recommend it to my children when they're old enough.
Ah, excellent. And Aaron?
Yeah, I think, as Sherry said, it's designed to be a more heterogeneous cohort. So if basically any person throughout Minnesota, if you're a person with disabilities or if you're the parent, guardian, or caretaker of a person with disabilities and you want to become more active in politics or you're dissatisfied with the programming that's available to you, which I think is pretty much every person with disabilities in Minnesota, I think this is a great way to get your foot in the door. So I would encourage anyone who feels that way to consider putting in an application.
Heather, I wonder, because you're kind of way out there, I'd say, you know, way up in northern Minnesota. I would think this would be a big part for you that you could start kind of educating other people now more. I mean, do you feel less alone?
Yeah, I do. You know, originally my husband and I lived in the Twin Cities and then we moved up here the year before my son was born. So we've seen both worlds, and our support system largely is in the Twin Cities. So it has been a lonely journey, and I absolutely feel ready to advocate locally and help educate the community.
Do you notice a difference in the cultural views of people there as opposed to in the Twin Cities, and also the acceptance part?
Absolutely, yes. Locally, it's honestly been a kind of discouraging experience. We've had neighbors come to our house and say, you know, what's the racket? Because my son is nonverbal and he vocalizes, and, you know, it sounds like a kid having fun. It squeals and whatnot. And so we've had just to take those opportunities to help educate neighbors, or when we're out in public, we've had older folks come up and try to hand my son like a dollar bill, which, you know, like just some kind of uncomfortable situations. And there's a largely, it is a different culture here. And it's not the easiest culture to live in, for sure.
I'm wondering if there are any, like, habits that any of you will have had to undo by taking this class. Or did you all just feel like it was pretty easy to acclimate to whatever they were teaching you? Like, sometimes people get a certain mindset and it's really hard to break it. Anyone?
I can speak to that a little bit. I think that when I began the program, I was still worried about what other people would think of me you know, just that confidence level wasn't where it is now, and a lot of self-consciousness. And through the program, I've really realized everyone is just a person, and you don't there's no reason to feel like you're less than someone else, regardless of what their position is.
Thank you for that. Well, I think we kind of get to the time where people can just bring up something that they felt was important that maybe I missed. Is there anything anyone wants to mention?
First of all, I want to say we're not keeping it a secret how to find partners in policymaking. We just haven't mentioned it before. So, Partners in Policymaking MN, meaning Minnesota, since it's in many other states, that's where you go, and you would be looking for class 41. This is class 40, and look at what happened to them. So, if you want to be part of class 41, it's the doors open until July 14th. So,
and do you and I know we talked about this a little bit, but you did mention now that it's in many other states. Do we have a count of how many other states that this is in?
At one point, it was active in all states except for one, Vermont. And it also has gone to New Zealand and England and Denmark and Ireland. And so and it was Colleen going to all those places and starting the classes.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's online. So
is everyone, is the dates kind of the same all across the board?
No, it could be that they don't hold it. Colleen set it up so it would be over a 9-month period. A lot of states have pulled back from that amount of commitment, but it could be just a 5-day session all in a row, or it could be just over 2 months. But it started in Minnesota. It started by Dr. Colleen Wick, and so we are doing it
the absolute way program.
It was designed. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Any of you guys want to leave with anything? Wow, quiet.
Or any I think that we maybe got time for more stories.
Just got a couple minutes. Anybody want to tell any story that maybe impacted them?
I mean, I guess I can share one story with partners that was a very good experience, I would say. Like I mentioned before, presenting. So when we were practicing giving testimonies in front of a panel of state representatives, some of us also had the opportunity to share our own legislative idea, something that we thought should be changed. So I was able to present one of those ideas to the panel of senators, and that was a fulfilling experience, just having other people listen to my ideas and not, because sometimes, I guess there's the feeling like, and this is going back to the confidence thing, but not thinking you know enough to make recommendations or things like that. So I would say that's one particular experience.
Okay, thank you. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on. It was really fun having you, and you all had some great stories, and I wish you the best of luck with your advocating, and know you'll do great things. I expect things to change now, you guys.
Thanks for
thank
having
you.
Us.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Good night, everyone. All right. This has been Disability and Progress. And I want to remind you, if you want to be on our email list, you can email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. And that's how you get on our listener member list as well. And tonight, we were speaking with a whole lot of people. So thank you to Sherry Wallace from the Wallace Group, who was talking about her 40th class that had graduated from Partners in Policy Making. We had several people who came in to talk about their experience with learning how to advocate for themselves or other people with disabilities. We have Erin Wakeham from Plymouth, who did Sumuka Terakandabi? Terakanambi. Oh, I had it once. All right, from Lakeville. Anne Rouse from Lakeville as well. And Heather Kynes from Britt, Minnesota. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. Charlene Dahl is my research woman. Thank you, Charlene. Good night.
KFAI.org.